Welcome to Marvel.
Well, come into the show, Marvel Fantasy Football Podcast. Wow, what a week in the NFL. There were some awesome shootout games as far as fantasy football goes. There were huge performances that we need to talk about today involving mostly running backs. It was the running back week. Multiple, I think 4 to 5 running backs scoring 3+ touchdowns each. So if you were lucky enough to have one of those, you probably won your matchup unless you faced off against someone who also had a 3-touchdown running back this week. But just another awesome week in fantasy football. This one felt a little bit more normal. Now, we had some injuries. Obviously, Ja'Marr Chase was out this week. Looks like Cooper Kupp got banged up at the very end of the game. But as far as we know, nothing, you know, too concerning. I know Mark Andrews was banged up in the Baltimore game on Thursday night. The coaching staff came out and said shouldn't be too significant. So knock on wood that there's no reports today, but looks like we dodged, you know, some of the big injuries that we've been having every single week, somebody going down to a long-term injury or a season ender, like my sweet, sweet Breece Hall. I hope he's doing well. I should send him a letter, make sure he's doing well. But before we get into everything, studs, duds, matchups, and of course the power rankings, which have definitely shifted this week. This was a wild week for our league and some of the winners and losers. So we'll talk about those power rankings. But before we get to all that stuff, of course, we're going to dive into some cliff notes. It's a 2-part cliff note section today. First, I just wanted to start off, and I'm kind of going to put my NFL power rankings, tie that into the cliff notes here. And it has to do with the NFL landscape. As far as good teams and great teams go, I was thinking to myself, so the Jets lose on Sunday. This was the game that was supposed to put us over the top. If we beat the Patriots, finally, you know, the big brother, the Jets would have moved to 6-2 on the season, would have been a possible contender. Well, you know what happened. We didn't get it done. We lose a close one. We lost by about 5 points. There, you know, for different reasons, we won't get into those, you know, Zach Wilson throwing interceptions, blah, blah, blah. But I was pretty down and out about the Jets. You know, I even put a post up on my Instagram that said, you know, same old Jets and blah, blah, blah. I got Patriot fans saying, you know, yeah, the Jets are frauds and blah, blah, blah. And I was mostly agreeing with that until I really sat down and looked at the NFL landscape. And this is the, you know, part of the cliff notes here. It's just something I noticed. There's 4 good teams, and we got to stop pretending that the other teams, now the other teams are all going to beat each other. They might even sneak a win past the top 4 teams, which I'm going to talk about in just a second. But there's no 0-16 Browns team from years past. There's not a really, really crappy tanking team right now. That could change as the season goes on, but right now any team in the NFL can beat any team in the NFL if you're in that top, you know, bottom 28 teams, meaning the 4 top teams. Let's just name them: the Buffalo Bills, who I have ranked still number 1 since week 1, nothing has changed. Number 2 is going to be the Philadelphia Eagles, undefeated. They don't have a very tough schedule, but that's not their fault. They're winning games. They're undefeated. They're my number 2 team. Number 3 is going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. They're always going to be there. Buffalo has to get over them in the playoffs, but they are the 3rd ranked team for me. And number 4, with the addition of Christian McCaffrey, is going to be the 49ers. So congrats to Joe Chick. I mean, the Niners just take care of business again against the Rams without Deebo Samuel, and it was on the back of Christian McCaffrey. He's unguardable. And now in that offense with Kyle Shanahan as the play caller, man, we're really seeing Christian McCaffrey's potential. So with that said, those four teams, I mean, let's be honest. Every other team, you can either call them frauds because none of them can win the Super Bowl, in my opinion. Maybe a team like the Ravens kind of sneaks back up, but they have no weapons. No weapons. They have no wide receivers. But I'm going to enjoy the Jets are 5-3, and I'm going to enjoy that. Are they frauds? Yeah, they're not going to win the Super Bowl, but I'm going to enjoy the fact that they're having a decent season, because what's the excuse for the teams like the Bengals and the Raiders, who people picked to go to the Super Bowl this year? The Raiders don't score a single point. Joe Burrow has never beaten the Cleveland Browns in his whole career. So let's talk about that one. So those are supposed to be quote unquote Super Bowl teams. So I'm not going to feel that bad that the New York Jets lose to the Patriots in Bill Belichick. Zach Wilson throws for well over 300 yards. I know he had really bad interceptions that led to the loss, but he at least put up some yardage. You know, he made some good throws. Unfortunately, they didn't win the game, but I guess I'm just done being sad for the Jets. The Jets are a better team than a lot of these other, you know, quote unquote Super Bowl contenders. So that was just something I noticed. And second, this is just something I remember years ago when Dak Prescott, I think he was a rookie. I was listening to Colin Cowherd from Fox Sports, and he has these little tendencies that he follows to try to determine whether you're going to be a good quarterback or not. One of them is like, oh, I don't want my quarterback wearing their hat backwards. It's such a stupid little tiny thing. But like, he's like almost like 9 out of 10. If you have your hat forward as a quarterback, you're more prone to do better. I don't know. It's just the cool guy mentality. Like Jay Cutler used to wear his hat backwards. Then he'd go out and throw 3 interceptions. So anyway, Dak Prescott as a rookie, Colin Cowherd made a note of this, was sitting on the bench drinking a cup of water. This all happens in like a 5 to 6 second TV clip. Maybe they're in a timeout. And he's drinking the water, Dak Prescott on the bench, and he's done with the water, and he's got the cup, and he throws it behind his shoulder trying to get it into the trash can. And he missed the trash can, so the cup lands on the ground. Again, this is all so fast. I'm just kind of laying it out for you. And Dak gets up and walks around the bench and picks up the cup and throws it away. And Colin Cowherd was like blown away. He's like, I don't know. It seems insignificant, but that's such an adult move to do. You miss the trash can. I mean, there's cups all over the ground, players throwing them on the ground. He gets up, goes, picks it up, puts it in the trash, and then sits back down. So he made the full effort. So Colin Cowherd's point was, he's like more grown up than most rookies. And Dak is not a, you know, doesn't seem to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, but he turned out to be pretty good for the Cowboys. And I'm saying all that to say this. I saw something last week that just assured me. And I want to give props to one of our managers in our league. And it's Alicia. I had mentioned this to Josh and Taylor. Now, Alicia, you know, up until this week, was undefeated. She's had really good seasons in the past. I don't know Alicia too well. I don't know how involved she is. All I can see is, you know, acquisitions. And I know she doesn't trade too much. Every once in a while, she likes to trade Travis Kelce to my Corrado. But not this year. And I feel like she has grown as a fantasy manager, and I wanted to point that out. Her Dak Prescott picking up the cup off the ground for me, she picked up a player that turned out to be insignificant, but it's the move that made my eyes go, what? She picked up Raheem Blackshear, fourth string running back for the Carolina Panthers. Some of you might not even know who that name is. I do. I mean, I pride myself in doing so much research. I know fourth, fifth string players on each team. They don't usually amount to anything, so it's probably useless. But when Chuba Hubbard was ruled out, within seconds, Alicia went to the waiver wire and knew that possibly Raheem Blackshear could have some value. And to me, that I'm in six leagues. I grabbed Blackshear in just a couple. It's kind of a dart throw, a lottery pick. I picked him up, and then I was kind of waiting, and I kind of kept checking. And within like 2 minutes, it said Raheem Blackshear added in one of your leagues or whatever. And it wasn't by me. I'm like, okay, this is going to be one of the other managers that I know, you know, does research, blah, blah, blah. And it was Alicia. And, you know, I just want to give her props. She didn't start him this week. He only got 2 yards, which is good for 0.2 fantasy points. But just wanted to throw some props out there to, you know, to Alicia. She's the real deal. You know, her team is 7-0, was 7-0 for a reason. And she's a great addition to our fantasy league. So again, just wanted to show some love, encouragement, awesome pickup. Again, didn't amount to anything, but it wasn't the production. It was the act of knowing that that player could have some value. There's other players in our league that, you know, don't pick anybody up. They wait till the very last minute, or they don't even look at trades because they don't know values of players. So they decline it because they don't feel like doing the research to determine whether this trade is even good for them. But I don't see that from Alicia, so props to you. And by the way, I see this from a lot of our managers, but this particular scenario I saw from her. So that was kind of a long intro, long cliff notes, just a couple things that I saw. So without further ado, we're going right into our matchup of the week. We'll see you on the other side. Let's go. Our matchup of the week. Who's it gonna be? Whoop. It's Alicia taking on Gage. Let's go. Gage takes the win, 135 to 81. Why is this the matchup of the week? These were two division leaders with strong records in the middle of the season. So this is definitely a matchup of the week. Alicia was chasing 8-0. Haven't seen anyone do that in any of my leagues this year. So she could have made history. But no, Gage takes the win, 135 to 81. Let's take a look at Gage's team. Studs all over. Christian McCaffrey just gets it done. 36 fantasy points. I mean, the stat sheet is unbelievable for CMC. We talk about a passing touchdown, a receiving touchdown, and a rushing touchdown. First time someone's done that since LaDainian Tomlinson in 2005. Just an unreal performance. And oh, by the way, I mean, 94 rushing yards on the ground on top of 55 receiving yards and 34 passing yards. Kid's just a stud. And if that didn't, you know, if that wasn't enough, he was able to start Tua Tagovailoa. I can't say it still. 29 fantasy points, 382 yards, and 3 touchdowns. If you want to talk about duds, Evan McPherson, kicker, missed an extra point last night, was 0-for-1 on field goals. Didn't help the Bengals' case as they lose to the Browns last night. 0 fantasy points, but it doesn't matter. 135 for Gage. His team puts up 9 touchdowns on the week. Just an unreal performance. Heading over to Alicia's team, I misspoke in the intro. I did not know that she started Raheem Blackshear. Again, so for the very thing I praised her for, picking up Raheem Blackshear, I'm going to put him as her dud. 1 yard, good for 0.1 fantasy points. I did not know she was going to be starting him. She had other players on her bench, Alec Pierce, 8 fantasy points. Turns out it doesn't matter. Gage just was, you know, too hot this week, put up too many points. But again, the same reason why I praised her, Raheem Blackshear, is going to be her dud. As far as her stud goes, there's not much to choose from, but I'm going to go Antonio Gibson here, 17 fantasy points, only 19 rushing yards, but was heavily involved in the receiving game. It's almost like Brian Robinson has taken on the lead back role as far as rushing, but now Gibson, it has opened things up for his utilization in the passing game. 58 receiving yards, 7 receptions, and a touchdown. I mean, this is going to be a weekly high-end flex play from now on for her. So she might be able to start using him where it looked like Brian Robinson was kind of taking the job. I think Gibson has the high-value touches while Brian Robinson is, you know, kind of running the ball into the offensive lineman in between the 20s. But nonetheless, Alicia takes the loss, her first of the season, 7-1, while Gage moves to 5-3 and continues to lead his division. He is seated in the playoffs as it stands right now. Just a poor performance from Alicia's team. Only 5 touchdowns for her squad to Gage's 9. So congratulations, Gage, on the week. All right, that was matchup of the week. Our next matchup is going to be Josh taking on Tom. Dawson's Knox's Creek takes the loss, 87 to Tom's 136. Pillar of Fire, he's back after multiple 60-point performances. He puts up 136, a high-end score for Mr. Tom Beggs. Let's take a look at his team. He ended up with 8 total touchdowns on his team. For each matchup, I'm going to be stating how many touchdowns each team has now. I think touchdowns matter so much in fantasy football. Most of the time, you're going to find yourself winning matchups if your team score touchdowns. So I think I'm going to be adding that from here on out, because here's just another case of what happened, why it was a blowout. 8 touchdowns for Tom's team. Studs all over the place, but I'm going DJ Moore. I don't know if Tom would have ever thought that DJ Moore would find himself in the stud section. 6 receptions, 152 yards, and a touchdown, and he doesn't get any minus points for taking off his helmet and penalizing his team after that epic Hail Mary catch to send it into overtime. But 24 fantasy points from DJ Moore. Are you kidding me? That's great for Tom and his team. Cooper Kupp banged up his ankle. I don't think he's going to miss any time. He's expected to start, but at least now he knows there's a possibility maybe he can rely a little bit more on DJ Moore moving forward with PJ Tucker at quarterback. I don't see why they wouldn't just play PJ Tucker from here on out if you're the Carolina Panthers. I mean, he's been on your squad for a couple years. He's not the future, but he's winning you games, at least keeping you in games, which can't say the same for Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold last year. So I hope they give that kid, let him play. Let him show another team that maybe he could make a difference on their squad. As far as duds go, man, Eno Benjamin was such a disappointment. I started him in a league over Dante Foreman, and I was sick to my stomach. I lost because of it. Only 6.5 fantasy points for Eno. It looked like an awesome start. James Conner was ruled inactive again. Eno was great last week, but he only gets 22 rushing yards, involved, you know, four receptions. Just an uninspiring week for Eno Benjamin. I hope James Conner just comes back next week so we can kind of put Eno to bed. But nonetheless, Tom puts up 136. Congratulations on the win. Moving over to Josh's team. Like I said in the chat, I was wondering why the simulator was not ranking Josh very high. Last week he was 5-2, atop of his division, and you know, they still had him ranked, you know, 8th or 9th, and it's because he's just not putting up points. He stole a couple wins for sure. I know him and I had a low scoring affair, I believe, week 1. Hey, a win is a win, but I'm sure Josh would like to score some more fantasy points here. Only 2 touchdowns for his team. So that's going to be the problem right there. But his stud, DeAndre Hopkins, 2 weeks in a row, he looks phenomenal. Fresh legs. Maybe the steroids still pumping through those veins, whatever substance he was on last year. He looks great. 12 receptions, 159 yards, and a touchdown. He's really providing value for Kyler Murray, who looks pretty awful. I don't know if it's him or the offense, but could have been because Call of Duty came out this week. But they lose to the Minnesota Vikings, but DeAndre Hopkins looks great. I'm sure he's encouraged by that. But, man, talk about mega dud, Davante Adams. So he was sick all week, didn't practice once, maybe a limited fashion on Friday. He was a true question mark leading into the week, as if, you know, possible he wasn't going to play. Most guys that are just sick, as long as it's not COVID-related, they will suit up and give it a go. But it looks to me that he wasn't fully healthy, possibly dehydrated. I don't know what the thing was, but one reception, 3 yards, good for 0.7 fantasy points. That's not going to help Josh's case at all. Disappointing. You know, Josh had Juju on bye. Cordell Patterson still injured. James Conner was injured. So he has troops coming back to help his squad. But nonetheless, takes the loss here, moves to 5-3. I would kill to be 5-3. So I can't really complain about Josh's team at all. And Pillar of Fire moves to 3-5. He's still in it, folks. Watch out for Pillar of Fire. All right, our next matchup is going to be Taylor, the trophy wife, taking on Torres Falcons, Juan Torres. And Juan Torres gets the win. I'm sure he's very excited about this. Off the schneid a little bit. 112 to 74. Triple digits for Juan. Let's take a look at his team. Juan's team puts up 5 touchdowns on the week. His stud's going to be Kirk Cousins. That's right, Kirk Cousins. 232 passing yards, 2 passing touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown. 23.5 fantasy points is awesome from Kirk Cousins. You'll take that every single week if you could. The Vikings look for real. They're like that high-end good team. I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender, but they're like, you know, they're definitely top 10 for sure. Kirk Cousins looks pretty good, as long as he's not on prime time. As far as your dud goes, we're going to go Najee Harris. I feel like he's your dud every single week at this point. At what point do they just shut him down? I don't know if this is injury related or what, but 8 fantasy points, 32 yards rushing is brutal. They're not using him like they did last year in the passing game either. So very concerning. Probably the number one bust in fantasy this year now that, you know, Mr. Kyle Pitts caught a touchdown back-to-back weeks, and now that Travis Etienne looks pretty good, I think it's between Najee Harris and Cam Akers for bust of the year, unfortunately for Juan, but Juan takes the win. As far as trophy wife goes, looking at her team, now I'm going to give her a dud to Chase Edmonds, but you don't, she probably didn't expect much from him. She was hurt by bye weeks. You know, Austin Eckler, her number one player, was out. Zeke was out on injury. So she kind of threw Chase Edmonds in there. So I'm going to give the dud to him. But again, she probably wasn't, you know, she's probably hoping for a 1 yard rushing touchdown, putting in Chase Edmonds. As far as her stud goes, I'll go Geno. Geno still looked good. They get the win over the Giants. So nothing to shake a stick at. 212 yards passing and 2 touchdowns, good for 19 fantasy points. He wasn't really needed. It wasn't a shootout with the Giants. Low scoring game, a lot of running. But when needed, he did, you know, and he missed out on some points. Tyler Lockett dropped a touchdown pass. So he could have had an even bigger day, but it wouldn't have mattered here. She just didn't put up enough points. And just like her husband, Josh, Taylor, only 2 touchdowns on the week for her squad. You know, Rashad Bateman got her 0 for 0. That's injury related, unfortunately. I think Bateman was going to have a decent night, but he's going to be out 2 to 3 weeks now. And I think in most leagues, I don't know, I have him in a league, I'm probably dropping him. It's just, I've had enough of him. I feel like there's guys on the waiver wire that can give me just as good production as Rashad Bateman, but that's just me. So the trophy wife moves to 2-6 on the year, which is tied with Juan Torres, 2-6 on the year. I believe there are now 4 2-6 teams. I'll have to double check that. Don't quote me. 1, 2, 3, 4. So the Build-A-Bear Bull is getting hot and heavy. It's almost more important than whoever wins this league. Am I right? But congratulations to Juan. I'm sure he's very excited. All right, our next matchup is going to be myself, Mr. Fahrenheit, taking on Bathroom Handjobs, Mike Corrado. And Mr. Fahrenheit, whoop, takes the win, 158, oh my, to 117. Let's take a look at my roster. 9 touchdowns for my team this week. I'm telling you, touchdowns matter. And it begins with my stud, of course, the one everyone picked, Dante Foreman. I never thought would be in this section. My goodness, 118 yards and 3 touchdowns. If you watched it, and good for 31 fantasy points, if you watched any clips from him, or I had the game on in Red Zone, he looks like Derrick Henry, man. He's not as big, but he's got the dreads flowing. And when they give him the ball, he picks a side, and his downhill speed at that size, he is not going to get stuffed. He's going to get at least a few yards. And if he breaks through that first level, watch out. And that's what he was doing. Just an unreal performance. Christian McCaffrey gone. Chuba Hubbard was injured. It's the perfect scenario for Foreman. I was desperate for a running back, and I hope I got one. Chuba Hubbard might be back this week. He was close to playing this past week, so it could be for nothing, but he's going to be splitting that backfield. But as long as the Panthers are now formidable, like I said, with PJ Walker at quarterback, I'm very happy with Foreman as a solid running back 2 going forward. And with the production of my wide receivers, I mean, this is what my team is capable of. Maybe not 158 points every week, but I've been putting up points, and I'm happy to do it again this week on the back of Dante Foreman. Just like I said last week, I'm making the playoffs, baby. I got to hold the horse on that, by the way. It's one thing to be cocky. I want to be confident, but not cocky. So as far as my dud goes, it's hard to give really a dud to any. I don't know, Jim. This might be the first week we don't have a dud, and I know it's my team. I'm going to seem like I'm playing favorites. Gus Edwards had 6 fantasy points. You want to call him a dud. He was injured in the game. I do think he was on his way to having a great game against the Buccaneers. He had 65 rushing yards, early in that game. Now, he was splitting the duties with Kenyon Drake, which is very worrisome for me. I kind of thought Gus Edwards was going to take over that backfield. So I'm going to give I'll give the honorary dud to Gus Edwards because he still was splitting the work. There's nothing that would have promised me a high-end running back 2 performance from him before the injury. But, I mean, he didn't crush my team, 65 yards on the ground. I'll save it. I'll say that Gus Edwards is my dud. I'll save it for a team that truly does not have a dud. It hasn't happened once this year, but I'd like to see who's it going to be. There's a chance, because somebody did score more than me this week, there's a chance it could be happening this week. We'll take a look at their team. But moving on to Bathroom Handjobs, Mike Corrado puts up 117. Alvin Kamara, 62 yards on the ground, 3 total touchdowns, heavily involved in the receiving game, 2 receiving touchdowns, 96 yards receiving on 9 receptions. He is so much better when Andy Dalton is the quarterback. There's no reason right now to move off Andy Dalton. They just won 24-0 against the Raiders. And Alvin Kamara is benefiting. He's the check down valve. And the fact that Michael Thomas is still out, Jarvis Landry, all those PPR guys, it's all going to Alvin Kamara right now. So, 3 touchdown performance, good for 38 fantasy points. I just happen to have that other running back, like I said in the intro. If you had one of your running backs score 3 touchdowns, if you went against another running back, they almost kind of just delete each other, and then it's whatever the rest of your team is going to do. As far as dud go, I'm going Wandell Robinson. Unfortunate. I started him in a league as well. I started him over DK Metcalf in a league because I thought Metcalf was banged up, but Wandell, 2 receptions, 15 yards. I kind of just thought he was going to be a PPR monster for the Giants. Seeing how they have, no receiving options there, who are they throwing to? Right now, they're throwing to Darius Slayton. And here's what's going to happen. People are going to pick up Darius Slayton, throw him in their lineup because of bye weeks and stuff, and he's going to goose you. This is what happens with the wide receiver position, unfortunately. A guy like Donovan Peoples-Jones for the Browns, this happens to him too. As soon as he has a couple good weeks, you throw him in your lineup, and then you get nothing from him. So we'll see what happens moving forward with Wandell. He's still a rookie, so there's a chance he can still break out there. As far as your that was your dud right there. You know, 117 points is great for Corrado. He just happened to face me, the second most points in the week. These are the scenarios where it's like, I think Corrado would have loved to be in the matchup against Taylor and Juan. He would have got a win. But this is where I think, fantasy scoring is a little broken. Fantasy points do matter, even if you get a loss, but it's heavily weighted towards the random matchup win. So hopefully one day ESPN kind of addresses that. But Corrado moves to 2-6. He's in that bottom crew. There's four teams at 2-6 in the Build-A-Bear Bowl, and I moved to 3-5. I never thought I'd be so happy to be 3-5. And before we get to our next matchup, I just wanted to mention Corrado had 6 total touchdowns on the week. Again, a great week for him. He just happened to go against a buzzsaw, second highest scoring team in the league. Unfortunately, moving on to the next matchup, it's going to be Chris Roach taking on Els Bells, Elliott, and Roach takes the win. My goodness, I thought I was having a good week. 169-19. And here it is. I hadn't looked at this matchup until I was done with mine. I'm glad I didn't give myself the No Dud Award. The No Dud Award for the first time of the year is going to Chris Roach. Not a single dud on his team. Instead, I'm going to read you some of the fantasy outputs of some of his players. Because 169 points is absolutely insane. We're talking Aaron Rodgers, 15 fantasy points. Aaron Jones, 17. Tony Pollard, 33 fantasy points. Jalen Waddle, 26. Devin Duvernay, an unbelievable start by Roach, 14.4. Kyle Pitts, what? 16.5. Welcome to fantasy football, Kyle Pitts. Brandon Ayuk, 17. Isaiah McKenzie, on one reception for 8 yards, but gets a rushing touchdown, 7 fantasy points. And Nick Folk, kicker, New England Patriots, 21 fantasy points. Roach had 11 total touchdowns on the week, the most by far this week. Two more touchdowns than me. And as you can see, that was the difference between him and I as far as scoring goes. Looking at Els Bells, Elliott still got a very strong team, but that Mark Andrews injury, an early exit on Thursday, set the tone for his team. Unfortunately, he could have used them. I'm not sure it would have mattered, and he still lost by 50. But taking a look at his team, Travis Etienne is a running back one, probably top 5, top 6 now. With James Robinson gone, he looks the part. 23 fantasy points, 156 yards, and a touchdown. Not really involved in the receiving game yet, which is absolutely insane if they start getting him involved. In that aspect, he's going to be just a nightmare for us on L's team. As far as your dud goes, Mark Andrews got hurt, only 4 fantasy points, but disappointing performance from Chris Olave, 7 fantasy points, 5 receptions, 52 yards, and a blowout win against the Raiders. The Saints were just heavily using Alvin Kamara, short throws. Again, Kamara had 9 receptions, so Chris Olave just wasn't needed downfield. That will change in certain matchups, but Andy Dalton looks to be the part and probably the starter for the foreseeable future. And I think as Alvin Kamara, does better when Andy Dalton is the quarterback, I think it's best for Chris Olave if it was someone else at quarterback. James Winston, the gunslinger, is known to throw it way downfield, and that's where Olave would benefit from that. But nonetheless, Elliott takes the loss. 5-3 on the year. The number one ranked team moves to 5-3, while Chris Roach, 6-2. Congratulations on the great week. All right, our last matchup before we hit up our league power rankings is going to be Yeeters Skeeters, Jason taking on the Book of Samuel, Joe Chick. And Chick takes the win 120-99. Let's take a look at Chick's team. It's going to start off with A.J. Brown, 36 fantasy points, 6 for 156 and 3. Most of that damage was done in the first half. I know he was loving it. Him and I have been texting back and forth a lot about this league, and I realized that him and I are kind of connected. Not only were we both 2-5 on the week and concerned for the Build-A-Bear Bowl, you know, we're both trying to climb out of that situation. But he has Joe Burrow, and I have T. Higgins, so we're kind of linked there. Fantasy points are going to come and go at the same time for those two players. And I have Jalen Hurts, and he has A.J. Brown. So you can see where, you know, every time Jalen Hurts was hitting A.J. Brown for a touchdown, we're texting back and forth. It's pretty fun right now. It's almost like him and I are a tag team. We're trying to climb out of this Build-A-Bear Bowl, and he gets it done this week. So just an amazing performance by A.J. Brown. That's why the Eagles are undefeated. That acquisition will go down as such a head-scratcher for me. And now I know it's all hindsight, but what were the Titans thinking? Trading A.J. Brown for a first-round pick, and they got Treylon Burks, who is not even playing this year. I know he's injured, but so you trade a superstar stud wide receiver to a team in hopes of drafting, using that draft pick, to draft a superstar wide receiver. Your chances of that happening go down tremendously because you have a 100% guarantee wide receiver, A.J. Brown. He's amazing. For just a chance at drafting an A.J. Brown type, and all that just to save a little on payroll is such a gamble. And I know that, I mean, the Titans keep winning, but they could definitely use a stud like A.J. Brown. So that'll go down as one of the weirdest trades on NFL draft day that I've ever seen. But it's helping the Eagles. It's helping Joe Chick's team. As far as duds go, Brian Robinson Jr., I talked about him earlier when referring to Alicia's team and Antonio Gibson. The story of Brian Robinson Jr. is a cool one. He was shot a couple times in a, you know, in an attempted carjacking, and he made his way back after just 4 weeks. He's playing football, but he's not that good, and he's not in a good situation. He's sharing the backfield with two other very good players. JD McKissick is a reception specialist, and Antonio Gibson is right there with him, who was a wide receiver in college, and it looks like Gibson has taken on that role, and he just looks more dynamic. This is where, if you're watching the games, you can't tell me that Brian Robinson Jr. is a good fantasy start moving forward. He's running into the back of offensive linemen. He's got no juice. That's where, again, watching the games matter. Antonio Gibson is just more efficient now. He's getting less touches, but he's more efficient on those touches. He's got juice, man, and he looks good. So, you know, at a time, I thought maybe those two would flip-flop. Robinson would be you know, more important than Gibson, but I've changed my mind on that one, and looks like the fantasy community was wrong for doubting Gibson. Gibson looks like the better running back in that backfield, so he's going to be your dud, Brian Robinson, 2 fantasy points. Moving on to Yeeters Skeeters. Did I mention that Joe Chick had a total of 9 total touchdowns this week for his team? Fantastic output there. As far as Jason's team goes, 99 points, so just under triple digits, had 7 total touchdowns on the week. Not bad. You know, Josh Allen struggled, 17 fantasy points. They win, but he just wasn't needed. A lot of rushing for him. A lot, you know, there were some penalties that were kind of moving the sticks instead of him needing to really throw. The Packers weren't heavily involved at all. But as far as dud, your dud is going to be George Pickens, 0 for 0. That's concerning. So we thought maybe George Pickens was ascending as a talent and possibly usable for fantasy football, but when his floor, you know, point total is now 0.0, it's going to be hard to trust him. So we'll see what Jason does moving forward. He had a lot of bye weeks and injuries. Clyde Edwards-Helaire on bye. Mecole Hardman on bye. and Darren Waller always injured. So not a good week for Jason's team here. As far as your stud goes, I'll go Jerry Jeudy because of the situation. They thought about trading him. The Denver Broncos were taking calls on him. You know, I think teams like the Giants wanted Jerry Jeudy. The Broncos said, no way, we're going to keep him, as far as I know. You could be listening to this right now. The trade deadline is tomorrow, and maybe he got traded. But 6 receptions, 63 yards, and a touchdown. Good for 15 fantasy points. He's outproducing Cortland Sutton right now. For what it's worth, the Broncos won this week. It wasn't pretty. Russell Wilson still doesn't look great, but he's looking for Jerry Jeudy now. It's kind of flipped when in the beginning of the season it was all Cortland Sutton. So could be a very good asset moving forward for Jason's team. Jason now moves to 6-2 on the year, so still a very strong team in the league. And Joe Chick moves to 2-6, and I never heard somebody so happy to be 2-6. Again, I'm only 3-5, and I'm elated because of this last place punishment. And I believe I can just check real quick live on podcast. This makes for good podcasting. Out of the 4 2-6 teams, it appears, I just want to get this right, yes, it appears that Joe Chick has by far the most points. So right now he would be, you know, not in contention for the Build-A-Bear Bowl, but it will come down to wins first and then points. So as long as he keeps, getting wins, he will be out of contention for that last place punishment. But right now, 4 teams stand at 2-6. And let's take a minute and dive into our league power rankings. There have been some shakeups. See you in 1 minute. All right, welcome into the power ranking section. I'm going to read them from 12 to 1. Let's see where teams are ranked as it stands right now. We definitely had some movement. So at number 12 is going to be Torres Falcons, Juan Torres. At number 11 is going to be Bathroom Handjobs, Mike. At number 10 is going to be the Trophy Wife, Taylor. At number 9, some big movement here, Yeeters Skeeters. At 6-2, the simulation does not believe in Jason. They got him ranked low at number 9. At number 8, a huge win for Chris Roach, but he finds himself ranked at number 8. At number 7, Dawson Knox's Creek. It's going to be Josh. At number 6, the Book of Samuel, Joe Chick moving up. Even at 2-6, he's putting up a ton of points. Simulation is liking that point output and thinks it's going to shift. I said it early on. He's putting up between 100 and 116 points every week. This week was 120. And it's enough to, you know, squeak out some wins here. So let's see what he can do. Number 5, the Pillar of Fire, Tom. Tom moves up a little bit. This is the interesting part. At number 4, myself, Mr. Fahrenheit. I was number 3 last week. So I put up 158. The simulation, I don't know, it must have saw something. Maybe I got some crazy bye weeks coming up that I haven't noticed yet. But it puts me down a notch. At number 3, Unleash the Beast, Alicia. So she takes a loss and she moves up a spot. At number 2 is going to be the newly named, bye Alicia, it's going to be Gage Aziz, ranked at number 2. So he moves up. And number 1 for the 8th week in a row is still L's Bells. And it's because of what he said in the chat. His 3 losses have been against the number 1 scoring team in the league that week. So it's nothing against his team. His team's putting up a ton of points. So there's nothing. It's like the Buffalo Bills. Like, yeah, okay, the Buffalo Bills lost to the Dolphins. Who cares? You can just tell who the good teams are, and L's Bells is still the number 1 ranked team for a reason. Until further notice, until he doesn't put up, you know, 120 points, which he does every single week. If he puts up a stinker, maybe this changes a little bit. But L's Bells, I believe 8th week in a row, maybe 7th, is number 1 in the league. Good luck, everyone, in week 9. I can't believe we are at the halfway mark. It's going by so fast. You know, it's November 1st. Halloween's over, so now we're in Thanksgiving and Christmas mode. But you know, I just can't wait to see the way this league progresses. I love the chatter, and I'm proud of it. Proud of you guys. I'm proud of you guys for, you know, competing, and love the last place. Love the first place aspirations and going after that championship belt, baby. Good luck, everyone, week 9, and we'll see you next week.